Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Minimap Cast. This is minimap.com.au's weekly games podcast, your favorite weekly games podcast. My name is Kerry Palmer, and joining me from a brand new location is Jeremy Braditich.
The eighth location this podcast might have been recorded at, perhaps?
Eight. Goodness me.
Maybe?
I don't know, Jeremy. We haven't recorded... Well, are we including my place as one of those locations?
Okay. Two of those locations.
Two of my places.
Yeah, two of yours, five of mine.
Yeah. Yep.
Five of mine.
And also June calling in from there.
Yeah, yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, Jeremy, how does it feel to have been working all day and now your house is... still a mess, but not quite as a mess.
Good. A lot of the mess is still in boxes, which is good. There's not a lot of mess which is spread out all over the floor, which is good. There's a handful of things. Like, I've got my speakers for my computer behind me, which I haven't plugged in because I didn't need them right now. And there's a whole lot of sawdust on my ground. But like the
you gotta keep the speakers away from that.
Yeah. But my, like, the bedroom is done. The living room is like half done. Kitchen is done. It's just more about like figuring out where I'm going to put things. But I did have a story that I wanted to tell, which is related to this. So I've been doing some slight construction on furniture. Which we'll go into at a later date. But what I've done is, as I was moving out of my previous place, in the downstairs area of my previous apartment building, there was like a bin room, basically. And inside the bin room was like a little bookshelf because...
I thought you were going to say there were bins.
Well, there were bins, but not on the bookshelf.
Oh, okay.
And that bookshelf usually housed... like anybody wanting to throw out something that like was still pretty good, but just didn't want it anymore.
A free shelf.
Well, like yeah, basically, yeah. Or at least that's what I assume it is. considering the
oddities. This is the, I'll come back and get this later shelf. Yeah. Hey.
Considering the oddities that got put there that I primarily took, like I've got a giant poster of the movie Where No Angels starring Demi Moore, Robert De Niro and Sean Penn. Mm-hmm. Which I took because it's a good poster with a good bit of glass in the front of it.
You tweeted it the other day and you're like, why would someone throw this out?
Yeah.
But something I love about that poster is that it is quite...
it's a good poster.
But it's also quite indicative of movie posters of the era.
Yeah.
You know, where they've got that tiny tagline that tells you so much about the movie and just like... like 15 words, like,
yeah,
they're broken out of prison, but can they stay away from the third? But it's like, well, yeah, this is a vibe.
Yeah. I also I got a punch bowl as well with like about 8 or 9 punch glasses,
have a ladle, like a punch bowl ladle.
No ladle, unfortunately. But that's fine. You just scoop. That's fine.
So often they're a set, you know.
Yeah,
roll on a punch ladle.
Yeah, not in this case. But what I did find 2 days ago was most of a Dyson vacuum, which like, and like the only thing it didn't have is like, it didn't have the attachments and it didn't have the charger. But I know someone who has a charger, and so I borrowed their vacuum anyway because I needed a vacuum, and I charged the one.
We're talking a stick. Stick vacuum?
Yeah, except without the stick. It's just the vacuum part of the vacuum.
So it's just the vacuum part of the vacuum with literally no attachments.
Yes, yes.
So there's, you don't have a roller, you don't have a stick, you don't have like any... Okay.
No. What I got is the most expensive part of the vacuum. Is the thing. And I can get all that other stuff. I can get all that other stuff and I will be like, I would have saved $600 in various Dyson pieces of a kit, right?
At least, yeah. I've taken, we've had one for a while, and I've taken mine apart like extensively. So if you need a hand, let me know.
Yeah.
Or if you want me to like send you to the guide I used or whatever.
So I tested it and it seems to be in okay working condition, apart from the fact that I think there's a slight opening on the side. And so it's knowing that it's not getting the right amount of suction. So what it's doing is whenever I hold it down, is it pulses. It goes like,
yeah,
because it's trying to detect if it's getting the correct amount of suction, and it's not. So it's triggering like an auto cutoff. Because otherwise, I think that safety mechanism is to stop you from then like vacuuming a bunch of stuff and it just being sent out of the side.
We've had ours pulse before as well. And it was more of an issue of the, when you plugged in the motor, the heads through the thing, turns out that those are motorized.
Yeah.
And if that has too much friction and it starts overheating, the overheat protection cuts in and then it starts pulsing. Yours doesn't have anything connected to it though. So
Yeah. Like, and I know definitely for a fact that this one is got like some holes in the side, because what I did is I went to Bunnings.
Yeah.
As one does. And I bought like some cork sealant, because I wanted to patch some holes in some furniture. So the thing is, I didn't have a cork gun.
Yeah.
Which you need. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with how it works, but you put the cork tube in the cork gun and you do this. And there's no motor in a cork gun. It's just a spiral, and it just pushes the back of the tube forward.
Yeah.
To force it at the end. I didn't have that. But I was like, look, I'll probably be able to get enough out of it at least by opening up the top of it and just sort of like squeezing it like a toothpaste. And I was like, okay, well, what? And so what I did is I started to do that. And I then started to, Kerry, seal up the holes.
My God!
In this Dyson.
What a monstrosity!
With cork.
Audio listeners, Jeremy's brought the Dyson interview and it's covered in white gunk.
It's mostly it's still a little bit wet in some of the bigger parts, but it's mostly good now. Except what I was doing is, as I was squeezing it, now, you know how you push the gun pushes the bottom of the cork thing forward? It turns out when you're squeezing the bottle, it can also go backwards. And so the back of the cork tube just opened up. And I now just had like what is essentially like an ice cream cone full of cork. And I looked at it and went, well, this is now suddenly become a one-use item because the entirety of it is now being exposed to the elements and oxygen, and the setting process has begun.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out a paintbrush.
Like, what else could I cork?
Well, so like I got out a paintbrush that I've never used because it came in the set of like my screwdriver kit for some reason. And so I just started to grab that and I just started to whack it on the side of this Dyson. Or the side of most of this Dyson, because there's no attachments. It's just, this is it.
Oh my God.
And immediately it actually started to function correctly.
You're fucking kidding me.
Instantly.
That's amazing.
I'm going to see now. So it would still pulse, but it would go for about 3 seconds and then it would stop pulsing. Okay. As opposed to just like a on off with like half a second in between. I'm just going to see.
What's the battery life like on it?
Well, I mean, I barely used it and I had it charging a lot of yesterday because I had the spare one. So like it's pretty good. It's got a little, it's got an indicator.
Yeah. It's just that can also be something on them that goes, where it's just like, this is fucking useless now. I mean, but you can get new ones, but you know. Wow, that just works.
It just works.
Wow.
Thank you, Cork. It was very obvious where the hole was. Like part of, because it's like there's like part of the plastic that connects two different parts of it.
And this is one of the good ones.
Yeah. Like this had spread open. Someone had dropped it and damaged it.
There's the potential that it was just out of alignment.
No, the plastic had like had bowed up.
It was definitively damaged.
Yeah. Okay. Like it. That's why they tried to throw it out. And why I went that and went, you know what'll fix that? Bunch of fucking cork, man. Now, unfortunately,
that's amazing that that worked.
I have thrown out the cork, which does feel like a waste of money, except for the fact that this works.
It gave you a $600 vacuum cleaner.
Sure fucking did.
So what, you used like 10% of that tube, right?
Oh, no, I used like 2% of that tube. It was like, it's a big tube, and I used like this much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you would have used the rest of the cork for, but maybe next time buy the gun too.
Well, next time I think I won't buy that. I sort of bought it and I took it home and I went, this is actually not what I really wanted to write now. But it's fine.
You need some vacuum cleaner sealer.
Yeah, or like Flex Seal, the liquid one that you can get, right? And it liquid rubber, basically.
What happened to those liquid Band-Aids that they came out with in like 2005? You remember those?
I don't think
they went anywhere. I don't think they went anywhere.
I think it was one of the things where it's like, we've got the Band-Aid. Like, we've got what is ostensibly the solution that we'll need until we have the ability to just instantly fix skin.
Yeah, like we don't need a more expensive, less effective, messier version.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. You may not have guessed it from those first 12 minutes, but I did say it at the start. This is a video games podcast. We're going to talk about video games. Now, as you can tell, we're in a bit of an ad hoc mood. We sat down to start recording the show. We were doing our preamble and we were talking about, and Jeremy said, what have you played this week? And I was like, oh, I've hardly played anything this week. I said, what have you played? He's like, well, I've played this, I played that. I wrote about it, though. It's already on the site.
Yeah. The two things that I've played in the past week, one, the review went up today, and the other, the preview will probably go up tomorrow.
So it's like, huh. Okay. I said, do we even have an episode today? So what we're going to do, we're gonna do a little, just a check-in, and then... That'll be the show. It's just gonna be a short one today.
There will be stuff that will come out of the end of Games Week that we will talk about next week.
Yeah, next week is gonna be big. Yep. We're gonna do stuff at PAX, which is PAX Australia, which is happening this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're recording this on Tuesday. We will be doing stuff on the floor, hopefully releasing a few things while there during that weekend, and then on Monday we will be there.
Like yoga and stretching.
Doing a few things?
He said doing stuff on the floor.
Yeah, the show floor.
Wrestling.
Yeah, uh-huh. Tickle fighting.
Yeah. Corking.
And then, on Monday, what did you say, corking?
Corking. Fixing the floor.
Yeah, they got a hole in their floor. It's not sealing properly. Mm. It's pulsing. Monday, then we'll talk about the show. But until then, what we're going to do is we're going to sort of do a quick check-in on what the rest of the year looks like. Now, we've been saying it for months at this point and meaning it sincerely the entire time. But man, this year is fucked up. There's so many great games coming out or have come out. There are so many games that are currently installed on my PlayStation or my Switch or my Xbox or my PC that I want to play. And I don't have time for all of them, and I barely have time to finish one or two of them, let alone the like 10 of them that I want to. So we're going to just talk about that. So let's get through the intro, and then we'll do just that, shall we? So if you're not aware, this is the Minimapcast, minimap.com.au's weekly games podcast. We go live on all podcast platforms every Wednesday. with 24 hours of early access given to our wonderful patrons. Don't know how that's going to go because we're recording a day late because Jeremy was moving yesterday. So
episodes like this just go up for everybody at the same time.
Yeah. So that'll be up on Wednesday. If you like what you're hearing, it's not always stories about vacuum cleaners and cork. It is more frequently than you would expect stories about Jeremy moving house, though. So if you like what you're hearing, make sure to tell your friends and give the show a positive rating wherever you find us. Wherever you listen to your podcast.
My movers made jokes at me about that they'll see me next year. And I was
really?
Well, because I've used the same guys for the past 4 years.
I assume it's like one business, though, and you're not seeing the same people.
It's a small business.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like, it wasn't the same two people every single time, but this guy...
Across 4 years,
yeah, or like it's a small business, but like, yeah, it's like they knew
when the movers recognize you, that's next level.
I'm like a whale to them. They're gonna reach out to my landlord, be like, hey, like if you move me in like in 6 months, I'll pay double the rent, and they'll kick me out, and I'll call up the movers and they'll cancel.
I thought you were going to say that they're going to try and get onto your landlord when they don't hear from you. And they're like, you know, they go to the registry of who owns this building. Oh, is Jeremy okay?
Or like, can you kick him out? We need some more business.
So anyway, if you want to hear about Jeremy's moving stories in 12 months, make sure you're following us. Make sure you're following us on all the platforms. We are at Minimap AU, I'll say it properly, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and also Twitch, where we are live every Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. That's right. We hit daylight savings this weekend. It was not a good Sunday for me, but let me just write down in our script that it's AEDT now, not ST, so I don't screw that up for the next 6 months. 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time for the live recording of the Minimap Cast. We always hang out with the chat before and during and after. It's a good time, so if you're around on a Monday night, come and hang out with us. We wanted to say thank you to Shook for letting us use the Moog Model D Improv as the music for the Minimap Cast. You can listen to more of Shook's music at shook.bandcamp.com. And finally, Minimap is completely independent and funded almost entirely out of our own pockets. So if you'd like to help us keep the mics and lights on to help fund Jeremy's movers every year, you can support us by becoming one of our patrons.
Please.
For only $5 a month, you get 24 hours of early access for all episodes of the Minimap Cast, some bonus features. We're actually probably recording. We have a date for new videos that we're recording for Patreon. We will be doing that in the next couple of weeks, so look out for that. You can head on over to patreon.com/minimapau to help us out. And remember, it's cheaper than a latte with oat milk. Certainly cheaper than movers. So, yeah, we've got a few prompts here for the end of the year, but, man, Jeremy, what a fucked up year it's been, huh? Like, I heard someone say this. I was watching Alana put out a video, Alana Pierce put out a video, and I watched some of it. I found it a bit depressing, so I didn't watch all of it. But she was talking about how unsustainable the games industry is.
Oh, yeah.
And how for such an incredible year in games in terms of the releases and what we've been playing, what's been released and, you know, pushing the medium forward, it's also been such a terrible year for the industry. There's been so many layoffs, so much shrinking of the workforce and responding to that ballooning that we got out of COVID where everyone was online and whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, places going to forcing work for studio and people have moved, so they're losing their jobs and all of that.
And sometimes people like Tim Sweeney decide to fire 900 people, even though the company is still making a tremendous amount of money and he is still a billionaire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Cunt.
Hey, don't call me that.
Sorry, Kerry. Alleged.
But yeah, in terms of the releases, it's been a wild year, and it is looking like a very, very wild remaining 3 months. We're recording this on the 3rd of October. It's the final quarter of the year. And I don't know what I'm going to do, Jeremy.
Yeah, like there's still a tremendous amount of games coming out. It's not that there are more games coming out this year, because some are actually getting pushed to next year. For various reasons, either like actual, just like we need more time, but also some people are just like, I just want to get out of the fucking release hell.
It's too hot.
Yeah. But actually going through the months and seeing those games come out and, you know, playing them and talking about them, etc., like it suddenly feels like there are even more games than I realized coming out between now and the end of December.
Yeah. I mean, even in just like the next 7 to 10 days, we have Assassin's Creed Mirage, that's out this week, Forza Motorsport next week, and Lords of the Fallen next week.
Yeah.
Like, all huge games. And I'm just gonna, we put together a quick list of the like heavy hitters. So there's more games than this, like Persona 5 Tactica, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, following that, we also have Sonic Superstars, Marvel Spider-Man 2, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. That's in 1 week. Two of those on the same day. Then we have Alan Wake 2, WarioWare Move It, the day before. Big heavy hitter there.
That game looks so good, though.
Well, yeah, but it's snake oil.
WarioWare Move It?
Oh, I thought... I just spoke about the day before.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant WarioWare Move It. No, day before is not a real video game. I was like, no.
WarioWare is definitely a real video game, and we will be playing it.
Yeah.
Super Mario RPG Remake and Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Like, that's all happening in the next 2 months, because Avatar's like December 10th or something.
Yeah.
And that's sitting on top of Zelda, Baldur's Gate, Starfield. What else am I forgetting? El Paso Elsewhere just came out, apparently is really good. Like should really look out for it and play it.
Yeah.
There are other things. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Resident Evil 4 and the DLC, which I haven't gotten to yet.
Tears of the
Kingdom. What else? Armored Core.
Tears of the Kingdom came out.
I said Zelda.
Didn't Dead Island 2 come out this year?
Yeah, it did.
That was one that I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty intense. So looking at the rest of the year, obviously when we get to the end of the year, we're going to be doing like game of the year discussions.
Yeah.
But looking at the rest of the year, looking at the time we have left, we're sort of wondering what do our next months look like? So our first prompt here is, what's coming out that you're going to play? Simple enough. Start us off.
Well, across the ones on the list that we have written down, I want to play all of them.
Oh my God, really? You want to play Sonic Superstars and...
Yeah, kind of. Like,
you want to play Mario RPG?
That might be the one I would... That would be the first one to drop.
Because that's like a known quantity and...
Yeah, like, and like I never had much of an interest in it anyway.
But you're interested in Avatar because you like Avatar. WarioWare looks good. Alan Wake 2 looks good. I mean, some of these are slam dunks anyway. Like, I get that. Like,
yeah.
I know you're playing Marvel Spider-Man 2. I know you're playing Mario Brothers Wonder. I know you're playing Alan Wake 2.
Yeah. Like, I will probably, like, Assassin's Creed Mirage and Forza, like, I could drop. But, like, I think the thing is that those games are coming out sooner than the other heavy hitters. So that, like, I will probably have time for them, realistically.
Sorry, go on. I'll ask that question in a minute.
Well, like that's kind of it. Like, I want to play, like, I want to see what Assassin's Creed in 2023 is like now that they're going back. I like Forza. I want to play Forza Motorsport and see what that is in the new engine, yada, yada.
Have you played a Motorsport Forza before?
I've played like bits and pieces. I've never owned one and gone through the progression.
Had such a glow up since, what, 7 was their last one?
Something like that, yeah. Lords of the Fallen, fascinating that we're getting that just in general. And plus, like, it looks way better than that than the first one.
Yeah, totally. And it's like the same name, and but it's also Unreal Engine 5, and it's also just like less than a month after Lies of P.
Yeah,
it's so many things all at once.
Sonic Superstars, like, yeah, sure. Spider-Man, yes. Mario Wonder, yes. Alan Wake 2, hell yes. WarioWare Movement, hell yes. Day Before. Super Mario RPG, like, I'll probably drop.
Like we discussed.
Yeah, and Avatar, yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. For me, it's, you know, Assassin's Creed Mirage is a definite play for me. Forza, I'm happy to let go. I'm racing games just aren't my thing, especially not the more intense simmy ones.
Yeah, the
like
driving
this.
Sim ones, yeah.
Lords of the Fallen, I'm fascinated by, I'm interested in. Very similar to Lies of P, where it's kind of like, I'm interested to see what it is. If I got to play it, that'd be cool, but I'm probably not going to lose sleep if I don't get to it.
Yeah.
Probably something that I'm happy for it to be on the back burner, or something that I can go back to later. Sonic Superstars, I've never really enjoyed 2D Sonic games, and this game looks so forgettable. Like, I cannot remember the name of this game for the life of me. So, whatever. Spider-Man 2, fuck yes, so excited for that. Mario Brothers Wonder, I will be getting, I'm very interested in. I'm happy to let that excite me. I'm not fully sold on it yet, but hey, if it's fun and then I have fun with it, great. You know, I'm not sitting here wanting it to be bad or anything. Alan Wake 2 looks really interesting, looks really good. I trust Remedy. WarioWare Move It looks like the best WarioWare game we've had in 15 years.
Yeah.
Not even going to mention the day before. Super Mario RPG, I'm interested in. I've always been interested in it. And Avatar, I could take or leave.
You said that,
I
like,
think I've already confirmed I might be doing some work on it.
You said Super Mario RPG like Trump, like, I want to play it. No. Like, I want to play it. I've been interested in it. I've always been interested in it.
Setting the record at the time.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, like a lot of these I do want to get to. Probably less than you do, though. Less of them. There are more of these I'm happy to let go through the keeper, and more of these that I'm just not really even going to bother with.
Yeah, and like there's a handful of games that are like. Like, there will be indies around there as well. Like, I want to play Ghost Runner 2. Want to play, like, there's, like we didn't put on the list, but, like, I would hopefully like to get to that new Hot Wheels game. I don't know if I will, but, like, I would have a pretty good time in it. Like, there are some games around there that I'm like, okay, like, and I've got a bunch of Twitter bookmarks that I really need to consolidate at some point, which are like other smaller games that are coming/come out this year that I need to go back and play. I'm looking for my Outer Wilds, Umarangi, like Neon White, like
for your favorite games of all time.
Well, but like, I'm looking for my
this
like,
is like the other day when you were like, oh man, Lies of P, it just isn't Bloodborne 2. You're like, I just wanted it to be a bit more. I'm like, oh yeah, all you wanted was the sequel to the best, your maybe your most favorite game ever.
So unfair.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you bring it up though. You bring it Umarangi, Neon White, and Outer Wilds, like your favorite indie games of the last 5 years.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is like I usually find one a year. Like I consistently find one every year.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And like I just haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's El Paso elsewhere. Maybe it's something else. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Is it Bilkin's Folly?
No. That game's good. It's not my favorite.
It does seem charming. If you want to hear more about Bilkin's Folly, you should read Jeremy's review on minimap.com.au.
Yeah.
But Jeremy, I'm prompted to something you said at the start of that that piqued my interest, and it leads into the second prompt, which is, what are we going to double back to? You said, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Forza, Lords of the Fallen, they're coming out in this sort of earlier time period where, you know, you probably have time where you can get to it. To which I say, what about all the shit that you haven't finished yet.
I know. Like, there's a handful of it. Like, there's, like, Lies of P is up there. Like, I need to go back to Baldur's Gate. Like, there's a lot of games there that, like, I do need to go back to. I am still putting together that list. But, like, it's... like I haven't finished fucking Zelda, for example, right? So like it's tricky. It's very, very tricky.
Yeah. It, tricky is what it is. You're not wrong. So what are the ones you definitely know you're going back to, at least at the moment?
It Lies of P, Zelda, Baldur's Gate.
Yep.
I don't really know what else.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the list now. You finished Metroid Prime Remastered.
Yeah.
God, there were a lot of games that came out in February. Are you going to get to the Resident Evil DLC? People say it's good, man.
They do say it's good. Probably not. Like, the only thing that excited me about it was like, oh, I can do the Resident Evil 1 laser hall. Resident Evil movie laser hallway is in it, which is awesome. But like, no, I don't think I'll go back to it.
Okay, fair enough. If I had to say one to double back to that I really want to get to, I do want to play the Resident Evil 4 DLC. I have to finish Zelda. I am making good progress. I've done like 3 of the 4, like...
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
You know, tribes, people, objectives, temples.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I've gotten a lot of the dragon tears. I am very, very keen to finish that game and see what it's all about before the end of the year. I do want to play more Baldur's Gate, but it's not because I want to play that with Sam. It's less of a like something I have to get to before the end of the year so I can talk about for game of the year. And more just like, it's just current. I just want to play it. It seems interesting. It seems fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Resident Evil DLC, Zelda. And honestly, I'd really like to play a bit more Cyberpunk before the end of the year, either the main game or Phantom Liberty. I kind of am not fussed either way.
I haven't picked up Phantom Liberty yet, but I would pick that over the Resident Evil DLC.
Yeah, the thing with the Resident Evil DLC that's also really appealing is it's like 4 hours.
Yeah,
Phantom Liberty is like 20.
I know.
Yeah. Are you at all interested in going back to Pikmin, Jeremy? Pikmin 4?
No, I've never played a Pikmin game.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. How about Remnant 2?
If I got a bunch of people together, sure. But like...
You got me on board because I've got it.
Like...
I was gonna do work on it and then I got sick.
Like, I don't know if I've got the... Like, I've already got a playthrough of Elden Ring... Lies of P.
Yeah.
Like I've kind of got that space mostly covered.
Okay, how about a short one then? How about Sea of Stars?
How long is Sea of Stars?
It's like a 25-hour RPG. Oh,
okay. Like I didn't know what kind of joke you were pulling there.
2D in chat is mentioning Counter-Strike 2, which is a good point. I have downloaded that and I do want to give that a go because I want to see how that's like, because I played a bit of Counter-Strike Go. I'd play with you too. We should line that up after PAX week, maybe in 2 or 3 weekends, or during the week or so. Yes, Tootie, we should do that. Are you going to play any more of Armored Core 6?
I would love to. I don't know. I really don't know. I think that would be a really cool, like, cozy, like, just kind of chill stream game.
Yeah, because you've played it, it's replaying, it's testing builds, it's just having fun. Like,
yeah,
I get that.
Yeah. I'm looking at a lot of the games that are coming out and that have come out that I want to go back to. I'm like, okay, like I can easily just sort of like throw a couple hours at this on stream and just sort of make some progress. Like, I'm not going to go back to Starfield. But like I can go back.
I don't think I will either. I think I'm happy. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
30, 35 hours.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just I've decided to leave rather than happened to leave.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is. and Cocoon. Cocoon came out last week and I totally missed it. I have to at least try it.
Yeah, I would really like to get to that one as well. Like we were saying in the pre-show, I think as well, like, you know, I would love to go back and play the rest of Scorn, for example, which is a last year game. But like, it's that kind of thing where it's like, I would love to go back and finish that. Will I go back and finish it? I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Like, because what if I just played Bloodborne on stream? Like, what about that, huh?
Uh-huh, exactly.
I don't know.
So we've kind of been dancing around this sort of thing. But yeah, like, in terms of what's come out already, what is it that's come out that you are definitively writing off? Maybe you've played and you've decided you're definitely not going back to it.
Yeah, it's like Starfield is the biggest one, I think, for me.
Yeah, me too. For me, it's like, if I don't get time, Lies of P can go.
Right.
You know? Like, did I tell you, Jeremy, that I started it on Xbox, got to the title screen, and then said, I don't want to play this on Xbox?
Did you end up buying on PlayStation?
I haven't bought it yet, no. Okay. But like, if I do go to play that game, I think I will just buy it on PlayStation.
I don't understand you. It's like $100 to play it almost identically on a different console.
Well, first, it's only $80.
Okay, that's like, okay. All right, $80.
Second, I get to play it with my fancy back paddles controller.
I suppose you got the back paddles. That's something.
Third, I get trophies. But I just enjoy it more. And it's weird because I've never had that. There aren't many games I choose to play on Xbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So deciding to play this here when Lies of P is still relatively cheap. Like if it was Starfield, like I would just play that on Game Pass.
Okay, I don't think $80 is relatively cheap. I think it's just cheaper than $125 bullshit dollars that they've decided to start charging everybody.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the word relatively is doing in that sentence?
A lot of heavy fucking lifting.
It's working hard.
I also think it's being misused, but...
Also, don't mind paying for games.
Yeah, no, sure, sure.
Especially when I always end up buying Game Pass, playing something for 2 hours, forgetting about it, and then getting charged for 2 or 3 months more than I meant to. And then I've spent more money than the greatest deal in gaming was ever meant to charge me anyway. So
you're still gonna have it for Cocoon.
Yeah, see, that's the clincher there. I think Cocoon is the Cocoon and Payday 3 are the clinchers right now. If we end up playing more of those. Like I don't know that we'll play much more Payday 3, but
yeah.
Even if I'm playing Cocoon on the Xbox, yeah, I might just push forward then on the Xbox with Lies of P. But yeah, if I don't have time for it, if it moves by the wayside, like I have to finish Zelda before playing 5-10 hours of Lies of P.
Sure, that's fair. And like realistically, like you've got Bloodborne. You could just go play Bloodborne.
You're not wrong. It is installed on my system.
Mm.
Jeremy.
Gary.
Did you beat the Burning Shores DLC for Horizon?
No.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
At least not this year.
I don't know if I'll go back to it.
Really?
Like, look, it wasn't that it was, like bad. It was, like, I've just got, like, there's just way more interesting games that I could be playing instead of just, like, more Horizon.
That's fair.
I really liked the story of both the first and second games. There's a second one more, but like that's because the second one gets really fucking buck wild towards the end. And they lean into some stuff that I didn't really expect them to.
They also do better with their characters throughout the main game.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like overall, it's just a much more enjoyable story and just better characters. But like, I think that
I need to finish that.
Like the issue is that like the stuff that's in the DLC is not super the part of the main game that I liked, and like I think I'm just like it's just kind of more of the same.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And what are we writing off that isn't even out yet? For me, it's Forza. it's the day before. But everything else on this list, I'm not writing off. That said, there are a number of, I've got a number more things that it's in the happy to slide, happy to let go.
Yeah.
I'm not here striking it from the list today.
Yeah.
But if it gets to December, it's like, well, that's not happening, then I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like I think, yeah, for me, it's just Mario RPG and day before.
God, man, that's wild.
I know, it's so fucking weird, isn't it, that there's that many games and I'm like, yeah, that's a must play.
Yeah. Our final sort of prompt here is, this is a good one you came up with, is what would we be disappointed in if it didn't make our top three?
And
like, this could be a bit more general, because like there's a solid chance that our top three is like, we've already played the games that will be in our top three list, because there have been so many great games already.
Yeah.
But like, let's just say we want them to at least be top three, honorable mention, in contention for that top spot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if it's just definitely not in that conversation, it would be disappointing.
Yeah.
For me, if Spider-Man 2 isn't in contention for me, I'd be really upset.
Right.
Like, if it doesn't, like, if it's kind of a Miles Morales kind of feeling or lower, when I finish the game and being like, yeah, that's good. Like, no, I kind of need this game to hit a bit harder.
Yeah.
Personally. Not that I don't believe that Insomniac can do it, but just in a, like, the first game, I it's one of my favorites. It hits hard whenever I play it. This is the sequel. This is Spider-Man 2. It did take a while. They came out with the one in the middle.
Yeah, the third one.
Yeah, the third one, I know. But like,
what does 2 mean in this?
There's
two Spider-Men. That's all. The next one's going to be Spider-Man 300 as they go to the fucking Spider-Verse. And they're just...
No, you're right. You're right. They should have just called it 2 Spider-Man.
2 Spider-Man, yeah. Spider-Man X2.
But yeah, if it doesn't hit,
yeah,
if it's just like, that was good, or like if it drags, or if I wish it, or if it goes in a direction where I wish it hadn't, like I'll be really disappointed, because
yeah,
like I don't remember the last time I was disappointed by an Insomniac game, and
Gladiator.
No, I love that game. You know that. I should play the Resistance games. I haven't played those.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, with how much I love the first one, I do want the second one to be good. You know,
oh,
it's like June wanting Red Dead 2 to hit for them. You know, because the first one hit for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like this without saying, like, of course we want all these games to be good, but like, yeah, like you want that one to
exactly
to fill the same space as the first one for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think out of the ones that I haven't played here, the ones that I really would be disappointed if it doesn't make my top three is probably Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Only because it looks like they're fucking really cooking with gas with it. Like they
do look, they're going for something.
Like,
don't they?
They have got their foot so far down on the accelerator pedal. That's how you wrap that fucking analogy all the way up, isn't it? aside from that, because it's hard to know without playing it. I think if Tears of the Kingdom doesn't make my top three, I think it will be funny.
Totally, because it's like you still think it's an excellent game, like I know you do.
Yeah, and I think that like I wonder if I don't, if it doesn't make it that high, if I go back and I finish it up and I'm like, actually maybe not, then it will be, I think I will think back on that game less fondly.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Well, you're talking around about a kind of thing that I was talking about briefly last week about how I sort of returned to Tears of the Kingdom over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And had been thinking, again, sort of lesser of it in my mind up until that point. But then going back and getting absorbed and just like losing hours to that game, doing fucking whatever happened, just doing things as it occurred. And it was distraction and it was focus and it was surprise and it was direction and it was goals and it was shrines and it was Koroks and building, like, and it was swords that are references to old games and equipment and the depths and the sky and the land. Like, it was all of that, and it was hours like that, and it just wrapped me up and whisked me away. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's that there is something there. So I wonder how much that feeling you have now can be sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
So,
and like, maybe you don't, because like, you never loved Breath of the Wild really until you played it this year and you enjoyed it more than you did the first time.
Yeah.
Not to say that you'd love it. I don't know if you do or don't.
Yeah, I don't know if I do one either.
Yeah, but yeah, we both know that Tears of the Kingdom is a great game. I agree when you say it would be funny if it doesn't make that top spot.
And part of it is due also, I think, to the rest of the year. Like, I don't want to be like, it needs to be better than like all but three other games. But in more of a, like, in my mind, like, will I be fighting for this game to be in my top three?
Yeah.
And the answer might be no.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think there's one thing about Tears of the Kingdom that it has that it doesn't have over Breath of the Wild, in that Breath of the Wild did so many of the things first.
Yeah.
And returning to Tears of the Kingdom and doing a lot of those things for a second, like, whole nother time, I think that is the thing that's keeping it from being the, like, monumental, untouchable beacon of 2023, you know, that there's just, like, it might just still be my game of the year anyway.
Mm.
But whereas Breath of the Wild was just like, it just wins.
Sure, yeah. Like, it's
sort of in, not only is it maybe a little lower in my head because of that, but also there are so many other things up at its level at the same time.
Yeah.
Just by happenstance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fucking bonkers.
Fucked up year.
Yep.
It's a fucked up year. Yeah. The thing with Super Mario RPG, I keep looking at it and going, oh, I really want to play that. And then my brain instantaneously at the same time says, am I really going to play that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's like, it's like an old school RPG.
It's an old school RPG. Like,
it's a
weird art style made weirder by turning it like 3D and modern.
It's a Final Fantasy VII ass RPG.
Yeah, like, you're probably gonna have to like grind for experience at some point, and there'll be like tough as nail boss fights. I don't know what the checkpoints are like in that game. And like, at the end of the day, when I play that game, it's not going to be like Metroid Prime Remastered, where it sits near the top of my list for Game of the Year, despite it being an old game. Like, I just don't think it's going to hit that. I mean, kudos to it if it does. But, like, I look at it and I'm like, man, am I really going to play Super Mario RPG in the next 3 months while I'm also trying to play Baldur's Gate and Tears of the Kingdom?
I'm going to make a call here, Kerry.
Okay.
I think you're not going to end up playing Super Mario RPG.
I mean, if I'm talking about it like that, there's a high chance that I won't.
But also, just in general of, like, I think there's just too much going on.
There's so much. There's so much. Yeah. I was talking to Sam this week, and we were trying to line up seeing friends that we haven't seen in ages.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm realizing something that I hadn't, like, put to words yet, but, like, it's a really, really busy time at work.
Right.
And it will be until the end of the year. Plus, I want to make sure I'm getting as much of my spare time in to play these things in my own time so I can talk about them at the end of the year, because they're just fun and exciting and I'm enthusiastic about it anyway. There's events going on. Like, I'm like, oh, I might not have much time for anything over the next 4 weeks plus.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I'm never the one who is committed to a string of things that means that I'm like kind of like wholesale busy.
That was one of my friends was like, "How's your new place?" And I showed them around on my phone, and they were like, "Awesome! I can't wait to see it in like a month." when you're back in Melbourne,
yeah,
and available. I was like, yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of our prompts. There, I'm very excited for many of these games. I'm excited for all of these, every game that we've spoken about that we're going to be playing or missing or getting to next year or in 5 years. It's just a good time for what we have to play. But yeah, for those who aren't aware, we already mentioned PAX, so you should be aware of that because we said it earlier. But yeah, PAX is this week and we'll be doing content there.
Yep.
We'll be doing content when we're back on Monday.
Yep.
And then the following week, I don't know what we're going to do the following week. We'll talk. You and I will talk about that. We'll come up with a plan. But Jeremy's going to be in Sydney.
Yep.
At South by Southwest Sydney.
Yep.
For the whole week.
For the whole week. Coming to you live from Darlinghurst.
Oh, there you go. I stayed there when I went to RTX Sydney, the first one.
Yeah.
The only one I went to.
I don't know if my hotel's there. I don't remember where my hotel is. I know it's around that area. But like,
close to the city, but not quite the city, but close. But.
Yeah, like, because in the city is like, oh, you want to spend like $400 a night? It's like, no, thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Jeremy's going to be there all bloody week. So I'm sure we'll talk about what he's done when he gets back. But who knows what we'll be doing on the Monday we are away.
Yeah, I think we can still do it. It just might not be live streamed, or I'll give you the project and you can host it.
You can
it
send me the files.
And,
yeah.
And yeah, it should just work.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot going on. Aside from all of that, we will be talking about so many of these games that we've just mentioned. Next week, we will be talking about Assassin's Creed Mirage. Forza won't be out by then. Well, will Forza be out by then? The 10th. No, it won't be out by then. So next week, we will be talking about Assassin's Creed Mirage because that's just out in a couple of days here. Week after that, maybe Lords of the Fallen and Forza.
Maybe, yeah.
Like week after that, Sonic, maybe. And then the week after that, Spider-Man and Mario Brothers. And the week after that, Alan Wake. So who knows what these next few weeks look like, aside from games. It looks like games, everybody. Pray for our schedules.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, I'm very excited. It's a lot of good times happening. That's going to do it for us for this week. Legitimately a shorter episode. It's not even an hour. It's not even close to an hour. It's kind of close to an hour, but it's not that close.
Relatively.
Yeah, exactly. Relatively. This is a heavy lifting word. We are going to wrap it up there. We're gonna clock off, talk about some PAX plans with the chat. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, for getting to the end of the episode, for clicking on the show. We really appreciate it. If you want to follow us to make sure you don't miss out on any of the content we're releasing at PAX, for example, you can follow all of our socials at MinimapAU. If we're posting anywhere this weekend, Jeremy, where would we be posting? YouTube, TikTok, and Blue Sky?
YouTube, maybe, depending on what we do. It'll be on as many of them as possible because there's a lot of cross posting you can do. It'll be on the TikTok. It'll be on the Twitter and Blue Sky because they share content. Instagram and TikTok probably shares content as well. YouTube might have its own stuff as well on top of that. And then across all of those platforms, if there's any more anywhere else,
yeah, like you'll be if we post something on YouTube, we'll post the link on Twitter, you know? So
that's
follow us on whatever you're using or all of those things if you want to catch all of it, and we'll be doing stuff there. We're looking forward to it. If you see us there, like, we'll probably tweet, oh, we're going to be there. That's the thing. If you see us there, fucking come say hi.
Yeah.
Friends and all of that. So, yeah, we'll be at PAX. We'll be doing stuff. And all the accounts are at MinimapAU. That's where I was in the outro. You can follow us individually as well. Jeremy, where can they follow you on Twitter?
At Obi-Wan Jizz.
You can follow me at KJPalmer_24. I'm posting there very, very infrequently. I'm more active on Blue Sky, but I am still checking. So Twitter, Blue Sky. Blue Sky is just KJPalmer, no underscore 24. You can also head to minimap.com.au to check out everything else Minimap related, including our other podcasts, including our latest articles, like the Bilkins Folly review that Jeremy published last night, like the preview that's about to go up in the next day or two from Jeremy as well, doing a lot of good work over there with the written word. So yeah, if you're live with us in the chat, stick around. We're going to talk about our PAX plans with you. If you're listening to us later, make sure to give us those oh-so-tasty 5-star ratings. It helps out a lot, and consider joining us next week for the live show. It's a great time. Lastly, if you wanted to, you could also support us on Patreon to help us keep the mics and lights on. You can do that by heading on over to patreon.com/minimapau, and for $5 Australian, you'll get 24 hours of early access for all episodes of the Minimap cast, as well as some more benefits, all while helping us out greatly. And just a teaser for those benefits, Jeremy may or may not have put together something of a set in his house that we may or may not be using for some Patreon exclusive content. You'll just have to wait and find out on that one. Who knows? We don't even know really, but we'll talk about it
in half a day. Threw it together.
Yeah, and it's honestly pretty good with that in mind.
Yeah, it's all right.
We're getting out of here, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you're at PAX, come say hi, have a good time, have a good Melbourne International Games Week. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.